Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, as we talk today about power and authority, I want you to consider this cartoon here. I have such a problem with authority figures that I even argue with my control top pantyhose, this lady's saying. Kids, your mom will explain that to you later after the service is over. But we do indeed, some of us sometimes have problems with power and authority in our lives, and especially today, we want to talk about authority in the church. It's necessary. It really is a good thing. Imagine all the different areas of our lives that authority is necessary. Consider the military, for example. What if every soldier went into war with his own battle plan? And there would be, well, I think that it should be done this way, and I think we're going to go here, and it wouldn't work out so well, would it? Or today with a big game. It has to be the quarterback calling the plays. Otherwise, you know, this one runs here, and it's all chaos. What about kids at home? If there were no authority of your parents and you were in control, what would you have for dinner every single night? Cake, candy bars, ice cream. It would, you know, kind of like what I have for dinner every night at my house because I live... I'm just kidding with that. Or consider here at the school. You know, we have Mr. Rosine here. There's a reason why we have a principal in charge of the school and the teachers that are in charge of the students. We can't have everybody doing their own thing. Oh, I think I'm going to teach this. And another one says, oh, I think I'm going to teach that. And there's no coordination. There's no unity. That wouldn't be good. And that's not the way it is here at Concordia. We do have coordination. We do have unity. We do have authority and a set-up structure. Otherwise, it would be kind of like this here, where you'd have the kids taking control, and some of you might have remembered this picture of Mr. Rosine taped up against the wall there, right? The anarchy. And no matter whether it be the school, or whether it be our homes and lives, or whether it be whatever, we have systems in place, even authority over top of us. Ultimately, here in the United States of America, we have a wonderful system here given to us of the three then branches of government to keep some checks and balances and power in place. I mean, you can't imagine how it would be if, let's say, for example, you know, one person, the President of the United States, all on his own, would make decisions and put, into place. Well, that's not such a good example. Maybe I should talk something. Well, anyway, all of these authority figures are indeed put into place, and they're established by God. Let me add this, though. Only when they are in line with God's will and when they are in accordance with, you know, what the Scriptures say and don't go against them, then we can follow. Because we know God is there and in place and has put that authority over top of us, and it's for our own good to establish these rules, these, you know, speed limits and laws that we need to obey in order in society. It's for our protection, is it not? You know, with authority comes great responsibility. The two go hand in hand. You can't have somebody who's responsible and on the hook for something and then they have no authority to carry it out. And it doesn't work if somebody has all the authority and they don't have with it also a responsibility to the people that they're serving. Parents, you know all about this, don't you? As you have a responsibility, although you have authority, you also have a responsibility to care for your children and to provide for them, put food on the table and put a roof over their heads and make sure they have a good education and make sure that they're kept safe and make sure that they're brought up in church here in a good Christian faith, that they learn about the Lord and all that He offers them, grow in their faith. There's a lot of weight on your shoulder as parents. There's a reason why you have that authority, as it talks about in the fourth commandment. You shall honor your father and mother. All of this authority, though, given to us by Christ, who He Himself has the ultimate authority, for He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He says this in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I'll get to it a little bit later, but dear friends, the good news is He also gives it to you. You have that authority. You can speak His words of power. Jesus demonstrates his power and his authority, especially today as we look at the lesson from Capernaum and what's taking place there. Capernaum, fishing village really on the northernmost part of the Sea of Galilee. And so up there, that's really Jesus' home base, if you will, for his adult ministry. And we know he was born in Bethlehem, and then he grew up in Nazareth. But now he's, you know, carrying out his ministry here, home based out of Capernaum. And there he does a lot of miracles, and there they're gathering then together for worship. You can go there to Capernaum today, and you can worship in this beautiful octagonal church, which is built over top of the ruins of Peter's mother-in-law house. In her house there, the ruins, you can look down in the middle of the church and through the glass, and you can kind of see all of that down below. But just a stone's throw away, not that far at all, you see where the ancient ones worshiped, the ruins of the synagogue, where they stood and where Christ our Lord stood himself and kind of turned things upside down and maybe pulled the rug out from underneath the people as they worshiped that day. He introduced something new. See, it was the custom that they would gather together and that they would pray, and then they would have a reading from the law, then they would have a reading from the prophets, and then they would then talk about and expand upon the teachings of the rabbis. And there's rabbinical code, and all of it, well, you've heard it said, Jesus said about their teaching, but now he introduces something new. He was common for saying that, wasn't he? You've heard it said that such and such, but I say to you, but I tell you, who is this who speaks with the one who's got authority, right? Is Jesus the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior, the one who was to come. And he is there then proclaiming to them, it is I am, as he says commonly throughout the scriptures. He makes the claim and he backs it up with his authority and with his power. He is the one they've been waiting for. His words are true, and his words are powerful. They are powerful to accomplish exactly what he says. When his words say something, it happens. He speaks, and it is done. Dear friends, our words also have power. They do. Our words can change lives. I want you to imagine and think, if your words today were maybe, you know, manifest into something physical, or what would they look like? You know, if they could come about and be, would they be in the shape of maybe like, you know, well, a smiley face, happy, positive? Would they take the form of maybe a hug, you know, some sort of maybe words of an encouragement or uplifting? Or would your words be sad, distraught, and maybe look like a bucket of tears? Or would your words be sharp and piercing like a dagger? I confess that my words have been like a dagger at times in my life. I've had other times where my words have been uplifting and encouraging too, but nevertheless, I've changed lives because of my words, and I encourage you to do the same. Change lives with your words, but in a positive way. We have to watch what we say, and we have to watch how we say it, because our words are powerful and they make an impact. Words certainly do that exactly. I want to tell you a story about Cheryl Pruitt here, Miss America 1980. She tells the story, actually, of when she was a little girl. Her family had a grocery store, and in on a regular basis would come walking in, delivering milk, the milkman. And the milkman would always take time to stop and look at her and say, oh, how's my little Miss America today? Always telling her how beautiful she was. Oh, how pretty you are. And at first she was, you know, and then all of a sudden she began to like it, and then she became to, you know, expect it, and then she set that for a goal for herself. And in 1980, she walked down that runway, and that crown was put upon her head, Miss America. That milkman's words had power. Told her that he believed in her, and she was able to accomplish and fulfill those, her dreams. Some of you parents, you're thinking to yourself right now, I know, oh, Pastor, I get it. I know what you're trying to say here. I resolve I'm going to go home every single night, and I'm going to tell my precious little ones, my son, my daughter, I'm going to tell them, oh, how's my little millionaire today?
Okay, just kidding on that one.
But our words really do have power. They do. Words that are spoken over, especially as we celebrate the sacraments here. The sacrament of Holy Communion, consider then when Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood. And we are given the authority to speak those very words ourselves, words that transform mere bread and wine, and to now, because of the power of God and His Word, something now that in, with, and under contains the very body and blood of Christ to strengthen our faith and to forgive our sins? Yes, indeed, God's Word has power. And there at the Sea of, by the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum, a number of us from the congregation were able to stand there and speak those words to each other as we passed that to one another and said, take and eat, take and drink, given for you, shed for you. Such powerful words. I don't know what it is exactly is your particular situation in life that you're going through right now. Everybody's got struggles. Everybody has difficulties. Whether it is that you're at a point where your back's up against the wall and you don't know which way to turn, you've got roadblocks ahead of you and you cry out to God, you don't know what to do. Take heart, friends. Even though the evil one wants you to fail, even though darkness comes into your life, you do have the power of God, and you do not have to think that you are defeated, kind of like probably what this boy is imagining right here up against this sumo wrestler. Is this the way you feel when obstacles come your way? When difficulties enter your life? I know I wouldn't want to be in that position there. But spiritually, we have so much more. We have the promise of God in Luke 10, 19. We have this to fall back on. I have given you authority, God says, to overcome all of the power. All of the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. Wow. Now that's authority. Now that's power, and it's given to you. Speak His words, and you can proclaim that in your life. Be delivered in your life from that which means to harm you, to destroy you, to take you out. God will protect. And when we consider baptism, Jesus' baptism there in the Jordan River is, I kind of picture John the Baptist, you know, standing there and he's baptizing and he looks ahead and he sees the people, or he sees Jesus coming as he's baptizing the people, and he says, behold, as he points them to him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus comes and he's baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down and you see a great picture of the Holy Trinity there with God the Father speaking from the clouds and heaven opened up and he says this, behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. He has authority, I'll add. Imagine at your baptism. Imagine all the baptisms that we do right here at Concordia. Heaven opening up, and God the Father speaking these words here. Behold, this is my Son. Behold, this is my daughter. Because of Christ and because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in their life, I am well pleased with them. And we have that power, and we are given that authority then in that case because we are made heirs of the kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the King. We will inherit everything. So where do you go for help? Do you Google things on a regular basis when you don't know the answers? And it's not bad necessarily to use some of these things out there in the world, but we need to get our priorities straight and recognize that the first place that we always need to go when we're seeking answers and we're looking for help is the Holy Scriptures. God has the answers. He is the one who's in supreme authority in the world, and the devil wants to just feed us lies, wants to deceive us, wants to lead us astray, wants to take us away from our Savior. But God, He wants the very best for us. Even the devil tried to tempt Him as Jesus was led out into the desert after His baptism. And the devil tried to tempt and say, oh, you're hungry? Okay, take these stones. Oh, it is that, you know, you can throw yourself down and you'll be protected. Well, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. And he's, you know, pointing to the Scriptures, and God's holy word is that which is vital for life. And the devil taking him to a high mountain, some believe maybe it might be where the traditional site is at the Mount of Temptation near Jericho. Others might think because it was such a high mountain, and we don't know for sure, then it might be Tabor, the highest of the mountains, over 1,500 feet. Even so, I can kind of imagine then that the devil talking to Jesus, you know, looks out over everything there, possibly the Jezreel Valley there and all of, you know, the splendor, and says, all of this I can give to you. Well, there's a lie right there. Devil is saying, I've got the authority in order to give it to you, Jesus, but it's the other way around. Jesus is the one. All authority has been given to him. The devil just deceives and lies. And dear friends, know this, that because you are heirs of the King, all of this is yours. God promises it to you. New heaven, new earth. He's there right now preparing a place for you, this mansion in the sky that you will have someday. It's all yours. Don't listen to the devil and his schemes and his tricks to try to turn you aside and, oh, I can give you this. I can provide for you that, the devil says. It's already yours. Speak by the name of Jesus Christ and know that he has given it to you, and you have power over the devil and his schemes. Dear friends, when the devil comes knocking at your door, you can know that there is no one that will ever be able to have the power to snatch you out of God's hands, because Jesus has the ultimate authority and power. You have been given that authority also to speak his words and proclaim victory over Satan. Know that you are heirs of the kingdom. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now,